Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So I can be a Chinese woman.
Sure.
But I can't be a 6'5" Chinese woman.
Yes.
Daddy is a her?
Suppose you agree that he can't actually have babies, but that he can have the right to have babies.
God created male and female in his own image. He is not a god of confusion. All of what we're seeing in our society today is simply hatred for God.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Politician James Tallarico is a lot like Bill Clinton, only a whole lot slipperier. This is Wretched Radio. James Tallarico making a bid for U.S. Senate while attending a Presbyterian seminary. John Knox wouldn't want it called Presbyterian. It is wonky liberal. The church that he attends, it has a cross with a rainbow draping around it. They're just flashing. We're about reproductive rights. In other words, this politician from Texas, he is liberal and he is smooth. And he uses his Bible to justify his absolutely ungodly policies. Preaching at his own church last year, 2025, Easter Sunday, let's listen to a fellow who doesn't understand, maybe he understands it, but he doesn't believe the gospel. Why? I have not heard or seen what we are about to work through. I suspect it's going to be a beating. It's a 20-minute homily, if you can call it that, about Easter. And I suspect you're going to hear everything but penal substitutionary atonement. You're not going to hear about Jesus Christ being brutally beaten, suffering, dying, shedding his blood for the forgiveness of sins. You ain't going to hear that. I'm quite certain of it. Instead, you're going to hear one of the different theories that people have about the crucifixion. There's like almost two dozen of them. I'm pretty certain you're not going to hear the biblical version from one James Tallarico. Let's give him a hearing. We'll understand his theology and we'll understand his version of what he believes Easter to be. And this is the best part right here. When liberals watch this video and they see this James Tallarico preaching in church and infusing politics into it, no doubt, they're going to be outraged because they're going to claim that he's a Christian nationalist because you're never supposed to talk about faith and politics. Okay, that's not going to happen, is it? Why do they just get upset with conservatives when they preach in churches or when they use the Bible but not their own? I think we all know the answer to that question. Here we go.
Paul, our earliest Christian writer, clearly thinks resurrection is not just something that happened to Jesus, but something that happens to all of us.
Okay, right there. Resurrection happens to all of us. Now, if he's talking about when we die and we are then reunited with the Lord, okay.
Not just something that happened 2,000 years ago, but something that's happening all the time.
Well, what does that mean exactly?
Einstein said, there are two ways to live your life.
Gotta tell you, when you're quoting Einstein, what's our text here? Future Senator, what? Einstein.
One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. Being religious is living your life the second way.
As if everything is a miracle. Well, everything isn't a miracle. A miracle, rightly defined, is a suspension of natural law. If it doesn't somehow suspend the order of the universe, then it's not a miracle.
As though everything is a miracle. So what does the miracle of the resurrection mean for us in the here and now?
Oh, do tell. Do tell.
Well, we can't understand resurrection unless we understand crucifixion.
Okay. This guy, he's interesting. He's 34 years old here. He's calm. He's got that thing that you need to be a politician, which is why we're focusing on him, because I'm telling you, this guy is slick.
There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday. So I got in a little bit of trouble last year when I said that Christian nationalists have taken Trump as their new Christ.
What happened? Where'd we go? What? How did... I thought we were going to talk about the crucifixion.
Because he's everything the first one was not. Jesus was poor. Trump is rich. Jesus was meek. Trump is strong. Jesus lost.
Hold on a second. Meekness doesn't mean you're weak. Meekness means you have strength, but it is under control. Sorry for the correction, Presbyterian seminary student.
Trump is rich. Jesus was meek. Trump is strong. Jesus lost. And Trump is obsessed with winning.
Jesus lost. Jesus. This gives us a hint that his understanding of the crucifixion and the resurrection, it is not about penal substitutionary atonement. I suspect it's going to be some sort of, it could be Christus Victor. It could be ransom theory. It could be model theory, meaning that he modeled what it looks like to be a really stellar sort of guy. And you do that by losing and showing your life to be sacrificial. But that's not the same as penal substitutionary atonement. That's at least our first hint.
That last part got people really mad. So many of our fellow Christians couldn't understand why I would say Jesus lost.
Right.
In our scripture reading this morning, Jesus's top student makes the same mistake. Peter, the lead disciple, the rock on which the church is built, misunderstands what Jesus is all about. In the first century, the Jewish people were oppressed by the Roman Empire. Peter had an expectation of what a savior would do, what salvation would look like. He expected a warrior who would violently overthrow their oppressors, a general who would deliver a decisive military victory, a king like all the other kings. But in Matthew 16, Jesus pulls a bait and switch. Jesus tells Peter and the other disciples that he's going to Jerusalem, not to conquer, but to suffer.
Well, suffering, okay, but that's why he's not a loser. He did that on purpose, ordaining and ordering all events, sovereignly in control of all things. That's not losing. That's using contemporary lingo to cloud a historical reality. It was a predetermined plan. That's what Peter said in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4. It was God's prearranged plan. This was intentional. Jesus was not a victim. He was a volunteer.
Not to kill, but to die. Not to win, but to lose.
No, he didn't lose. The cross was a victory. It looked like it was a defeat. That's the whole point. It looked like it, but it absolutely wasn't. It was the day on which our sins were atoned.
And Peter gets angry and rebukes Jesus. This is not how it's supposed to happen. You've got it all wrong. And then Jesus tells Peter the same thing he told the devil out in the wilderness. When the devil tempted Jesus with power, when the devil offered all the kingdoms of the world, Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan." Then he tells his other followers, "If you're following me, you've got to pick up a cross. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life will find it."
He's not getting there yet with what his understanding of the crucifixion is.
So much of our pain comes from trying to hold on to things that are impermanent. When I was little, I learned to swim.
Okay, we just went somewhere. If you remember, the premise is without the crucifixion on Friday, you don't have Easter on Sunday. Now we're going back to swimming in his youth.
At the Wells Branch pool, just a few blocks from here. And I remember my swim teacher telling me, don't hold on to the water. Let the water hold you. She was trying to tell me to let go, to trust. That's the faith that Jesus wants us to have.
Okay. I'm wondering what this has to do with the crucifixion.
Once we let go, once we lose our little lives and join the larger life, we become eternal. Losing is fundamental for Jesus.
No, no, it's not. He gave up his life. He didn't lose it. He laid it down.
There is no Easter Sunday without Good Friday.
He hasn't told us what Good Friday's about.
And on Good Friday, Jesus lost his reputation, lost his ministry, lost his friends, lost his life. And then on Sunday morning, we remember the only way to win is to lose.
Okay, he lost those things. Did you hear anything about blood being spilled for the forgiveness of sins? The answer is no, of course you didn't, because I am quite certain this fellow does not believe in penal substitutionary atonement. It is another theory. It seems right now this is the model theory. Jesus was a model of what it really looks like to win. He's what we should be seeking to be like. We should be willing to do the same thing of Jesus because he was our model, but that is not the same as penal substitutionary atonement. We'll continue listening to this sermon of James Tallarico next on Wretched Radio.
Conflict. That's not an if in your life, that's a when. You will most definitely disagree with your spouse, your kids, your coworkers, your in-laws, maybe all of them in the same week. The question is whether those disagreements turn your home into a war zone or something you can actually resolve. That's what our resource Conflict is all about. Todd Friel, who admits he's an expert in conflict, mostly because he's caused so much of it, and Dr. John Street will both challenge you to respond in ways so radically biblical that even the people you've been fighting with will take notice. They'll walk you through biblical reconciliation step by step so you can actually heal what's been broken. If you're exhausted from the same arguments on repeat, if your home feels more like a battlefield than a refuge, there is a better way, and it's not another self-help technique. It is Scripture. Conflict is streaming right now on Fortis Plus for free. Just download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or simply go to fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Here's a question. Do you think like a Christian, or do you just believe like one? See, a lot of evangelicals have accidentally split their brain in two. Faith goes in one box. Logic, science, politics, morality, well, that all goes in another. And then we wonder why Christians sound just like everyone else when we talk about economics, education, or anything outside of Sunday morning. Wretched Worldview endeavors to fix that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand tackle 22 real-world issues through a biblical lens. Capitalism versus socialism, women in the military, global warming, eugenics, guns, stay-at-home moms, and then they show you what it actually looks like to think Christianly about all of it. And here's the best part. It's not just 22 answers. It's a framework. By the end, you'll have tools to build a biblical worldview on any issue that comes your way. Wretched Worldview. It's streaming for free right now on Fortis Plus. Just download the app wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness, He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
There's no doubt James Tallarico, a swing and a miss, but sadly, it's probably not as bad as a lot of church services this Easter. People in staggering percentages do not understand what the gospel is. Now, there are some evangelicals that actually do. They just don't articulate it well. But then there are other professing Christians, like Senate candidate James Tallarico, who denies the classic understanding of the gospel, what the crucifixion was about, what Easter Sunday was about. A lot of evangelicals, they just biff it in all kind of ways, although they kind of understand it. This guy has joined the liberal movement that redefines what Easter is all about. Let's continue listening to this rather placid sermon about Easter Sunday.
This was unpopular in the first century, and it's still unpopular today. Today, Christian nationalists reject what they call loser theology.
Okay, wait. Is this about Easter, or is this about slamming Republicans? Wait, what are we doing here? And where are the liberals rising up in one voice? Hey, politics and church, that's a big no-no.
Joel Webben, a Christian nationalist pastor up here in Georgetown, said, "We cannot afford to be divine losers. We need to win. I want to win. I want to reward my friends and crush my enemies." Sounds a lot like Peter. I mean, aren't we all tempted by power? Don't we all yearn for control? We all want to ride a war horse, but Jesus rides a donkey.
This is such a mess. This is such a mess. Was just reading a critique on a totally different hyper-dispensationalism last night. And the conclusion of the author in making his way through hyper-dispensationalism was that it was just horribly mangled use of scripture, a horrific hermeneutic, no care for context, just, oop, there's, yep, okay, grab, over here. And what you're hearing right now is not only that, it's relatively incoherent. This is supposed to be Easter Sunday. It's supposed to be about he's going to be defining the crucifixion and the resurrection. Are you hearing it?
We all want to pick up a sword, but Jesus picks up a cross. We all want to be a lion, but Jesus is a lamb. We want to crush our enemies, but Jesus calls us to love our enemies.
Although on the cross, if I'm not mistaken, he crushed his enemy. Pretty certain that's what was going on there.
It's because we want to win the game. Jesus wants to change the game.
No, he died for sinners that we might be saved. This is the model theory. Pretty certain this is the model theory. Knowing that he would not find his way to penal substitutionary atonement, I printed up now, I spared you some pain because there are between 15 and 20 different atonement theories. These are at least put into some classifications, not perfect, but you'll get the gist. And that's why when you listen to an Easter Sunday sermon or a Good Friday sermon, if your church does that, make sure that penal substitutionary atonement is front and center, because there's the victory, the cosmic defeat models. These are Christus Victor ransom theories, that this is all about the Jesus defeated sin, death, and demonic powers. It's more about enslavement, however, than it is about legal guilt. That's what the cross was about. We are legally guilty. The satisfaction was being provided by Jesus on the cross. Christus Victor, et cetera, it says, no, Jesus was just, he was winning. Interesting. There's the healing model. So this would be the recapitulation theory, theosis, the incarnational theory. Humanity, we're sick, but he restores our human nature. No legal penalty paid. This is just about being broken, not courtroom guilt. Are you hearing anything about that from this fellow? There's the subjective transformational models. So this is the moral influence example, the martyr theory. I suspect that's what James Tallarico is. The cross, it changes us. It reveals love. It inspires us to be sacrificial. Dare I say, it changes the game. But there's no transaction. It's just about human response, not divine wrath being satisfied. It's about Jesus being a model, which I got to tell you, is really dopey in my estimation, because he modeled being crucified. Is that what we're supposed to be doing? The question, of course, if he was just modeling it, there was no point to it. If Jesus were just a model, it was a very gruesome, bad model. But that's not what he was. Was he showing sacrifice? Of course he was, but that wasn't really the main thrust of the cross. It is about forgiveness of sins. All right, a couple more of these categories. Solidarity, participation models. These are people who would say that he represents us. He enters our condition. He fulfills our role. So it's about representation, but it's not about punishment. And you got other models, the scapegoat model. It's completely ridiculous. The cross exposes human violence and injustice. It rejects that God requires heaven forbid, inflicted punishment on Jesus. Violence was being perpetrated by people. It was not divine justice. It wasn't God pouring out his wrath on people. These are just individuals that were really, really mad at Jesus. I suspect he fits into that moral category, the example category.
Think about our modern world. The people at the top, the Elon Musks, the Rupert Murdochs of the world, work so hard to keep us angry and divided because our unity is a threat to their wealth and power. So their social media algorithms and their cable news networks tear us apart.
Easter, anyone?
It's the oldest
Easter,
strategy
anybody?
In the world. Divide and conquer.
Oh, my. Coming from somebody who espouses critical race theory, which is all about dividing and conquering.
They don't care if we hate them as long as we hate each other. But by refusing to be divided, by staying in relationship with each other,
Easter,
we keep alive the
Easter.
Possibility of a different world.
Easter. Hello.
Loving our enemies allows us to listen to each other.
Crucifixion.
To learn.
Resurrection.
From one another, and ultimately come together to take power back for ourselves and our communities.
Wait. Whoa. Did I just catch that? Hey, all these powerful people, we need to be unified so that they don't have all this power so that we can have it. Oh, that smell, that odor, that would be hypocrisy.
Love has always been a threat to the powers that be. Jesus is not asking us to be passive. Love is not passive. Love is not neutral. Love is not weak. It's true, you can't fight fire with fire, but you also can't fight fire with a dripping faucet.
Okay, I thought he was saying earlier that Jesus modeled what it means to be weak and to be a loser or something like that. Now he's basically saying, well, not like completely, because we want to be able to have those things ourselves.
You fight fire with a fire hose. Can I say in church? Okay.
No, you can't.
It's better than the alternative, I guess.
No.
Jesus didn't spend his life passively accepting evil. Jesus didn't stay in Nazareth. He went to Jerusalem, the seat of political, social, and economic power. Palm Sunday was not a parade. It was a protest.
It was?
Overturning the tables in the temple was an act of civil disobedience.
So, wait a second. So are you saying we're supposed to be weak or civilly disobedient? Are you calling for civil disobedience?
Crucifixion was the punishment for rebels. God didn't invent the cross. Rome did. If you don't think Easter is political, then reread your Bible.
I guess I'm going to have to. If you don't think Easter is political, you need to reread your Bible. That's exactly what he does. He rereads his Bible. How does he do that? Well, he has preconceived notions, and then he goes and finds a way to make the Bible say what he already thinks. That's what this fellow is. This guy is a classic liberal. Now, this is, we are halfway through this little 20-minute pep talk, this little political rally he put on Easter Sunday. Is the guy smooth? Yeah. Does he know how to speak Bible? Well, yeah, he uses Bible lingo. It's just that all the words have been redefined and he's infused new meanings into them. But this guy, I'm telling you, is dangerous. This guy is T-R-O-U-B-L-E, a big problem. Why? Because he mangles scripture and he does it so smoothly. Be on the lookout for one James Tallarico. This is Wretched Radio.